Hey everybody, it's George from Gaming My Whole Life. Welcome to episode 3. Today we have Jamil and Jay both joining us again. How are we doing, gentlemen?
Good, mate. How about yourself?
Yeah, I'm very good, actually. Did you say 23 or 3?
Oh, so it can't be 3, surely.
23. Yeah, because like...
20 times
yes,
more.
Yes, 20 plus 3. You can cut this part out of the recording if you need to.
No, it amuses me, so this is staying.
Good. Hi, how are you guys?
I am doing well, buddy. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. I am loving this E3. It has been amazing. And I am really actually very keen to discuss it with the two of you because some of our predictions came true. Not that they were, you know, amazing predictions, but they still came true, so we're going to take credit. And I am
absolutely
very, very excited to talk about it with you guys. But enough about me. You guys talk. What's going on?
Well, I guess we'll jump straight into it, and then I'll let Jay take the lead, because all of us here, as you said, Jamil, we're pretty excited with what we're going to discuss today. So, yes, E3 has... It's mostly over. I'm sure a couple of things will leak, but the big shots have done their thing. You know, they've done the announcements. EA's gone up there. Microsoft, Squaresoft, Ubisoft, Sony, and Nintendo. Everyone's done their thing. And there is just a bombardment of amazing games and announcements which have happened. We want to give each game that we're excited about its due time. So we're not going to just quickly read out a list of all the games we want. Today we're going to focus on two of those games, and obviously with each future podcast, you know, we'll discuss whichever we're excited about. Now, Jay, you were actually a fan of this series before I even knew it existed, and that series, of course, is Devil May Cry. Now, why am I bringing this up to listeners who have maybe missed out on E3, and, you know, good luck with that. That's an achievement, to be honest, if you have missed out on E3. But, Jay, Devil May Cry 5. Why am I saying this to you? What's been announced?
I fell in love with the series when back in the high school days I went down to good old Video Easy and rented, I think back then it was Resident Evil Code Veronica X maybe, and it came with a free playable demo of the original Devil May Cry, like a first little intro bit, and ended up playing that way more than the Resident Evil game, which was, amazing. So I followed the series.
What console was that, by the way?
That would have been PlayStation 2, I think, by my tainted memory.
PlayStation 2, so we are going back. All right, nice.
Yeah, so, I mean, and they've finally announced number 5, so that's fantastic news for fans like myself.
Nice. Well, we're all fans of Devil May Cry here. I'm particularly, you know, I'm not sure I'm as big a fan as you, but I don't feel that's a discredit to me just because you're a massive one.
Well, Jay is massive in general. Like, pretty much everything about Jay is massive. But one of the things I'm really keen to discuss about that trailer for Devil May Cry is how much of that was pre-rendered, how much of that was in-game, and then some of the cool gameplay aspects with Nero, who appears to be the titular character. Nero's a super cool arm, so I am real keen to see more details about it, how it plays, what the gameplay mechanics are, and if it's going to be anything new.
Yeah, tell me about this arm. Like, as we talk about these games, let's assume our listeners don't know anything about
yes.
it. What's the deal with the arm? Like, when you say his arm looks cool, what's going on with
okay.
his arm? Like, what have you
okay.
seen?
Okay, so as far as I can tell... in the opening sequences of the trailer, Nero, who is Dante's brother, I believe, who normally has like a demon arm or a devil arm, I guess, gets it cut off by Virgil. Okay, so Virgil cuts Ooh. Off his arm, it looks like. I don't know if that's a spoiler or not, but it looks like Virgil. You know, it's not a spoiler because we don't know.
It's a trailer. I don't think we can, you know... worry about spoilers during the trailer, but your guess is it's
yeah.
him. Like, someone's responsible for chopping off his arm.
Yeah.
Okay. And what's happened after the arm's been chopped off? Is he just one-handed now?
Well, as far as I can tell, he's met up with someone who's really clever with the technology and magic, I guess, and they've basically given him a cyborg arm or some sort of prosthetic that he can use to do really cool stuff. Like, you know, he appears to punch people, I think it's with lightning once, you know, and he appears to be doing all kinds of cool stuff with that arm, you know, punching people really hard in the face and that kind of thing. And the arm seems to have a few tricks to it, you know, like it seems to have a bit of a trick weapon going on there. So it makes me wonder if they're going down this route with the whole, you know, mechanical prosthetic arm thingy. If they're going to add, you know, is he going to have like a hook shot? Is he going to have, you know, is it going to be a gun in it? You know, all that kind of stuff. You know, like what are they going to bring new to Devil May Cry that is going to really excite us all?
It does certainly open the doors to possibilities. Jay, what do you reckon about all of this?
Yeah, look, I seem to pick up in a little bit of the previews that he still has his gun. So at least one of the guns, I saw a little bit of the gameplay where he's shooting from, because I thought the same thing. Maybe somehow the arm will play a bigger role, but seems to be just replacing the demon power. But I loved in the trailer one little part where he encounters a boss and he says something along the lines of, "Oh, what, no witty introduction?" Because that was one of my favourite parts about Devil May Cry, the banter between, you know, either Dante or Nero and whoever they're fighting. So, yeah, very very clever little intro there, I think. I liked it.
I'm glad you pointed that out, Jay, because I was actually thinking that same thing. When I saw him sassing that monster and not giving a shit, I'm like, yes. I'm like, that's what Dante was all about. You know, he was just such a badass. He didn't care. And yeah, he would just be making fun. Like the first time he fought that huge spider in the first Devil May Cry. And you as a gamer, you're like, oh shit, what am I going to do? And he's just making fun of it. And it's like, does nothing scare this guy? Question to you, gents. How do you feel about the fact that this will be the second Devil May Cry entry where you're not actually playing as Dante himself? We don't know how much of a role he will play in Devil May Cry 5. He's definitely part of the story. Like, if you rewind and watch the trailer, you'll realize that, you know, all three of the playable characters are there and Dante has his role. He doesn't seem to be the main character. Is this a put-off at all? Do you care if it's Dante or not? Like, how does this impact you in your decision moving forward with the game?
Me personally, I'm not too married to Dante. You know, as long as Virgil's cool and he's got his cool little gimmick, then fine, you know. Okay. So, I mean, Jay may have stronger opinions than me.
Well, I'm only not married to Dante because it wasn't legal back then. So, moving forward.
So next weekend.
Yeah. Once the game's released and he's done all his press, we'll make it official. But yeah, look, I'd prefer it to be Dante. You grow quite fond of him and his persona. But I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe he was initially meant to be a character in Resident Evil. And as through development, I think they kind of thought, ooh, this guy's got a little bit of something to him, and then that sort of led down the path of Devil May Cry being its own entity. I could be wrong about that. Could have just been a really crazy dream.
No.
But
no, you're actually right. It's well documented that while they were working on Resident Evil 4, before the famous one came out on GameCube with the over the shoulder and like blew everyone away, during that time when they were experimenting, they just realized at some point, hey, this has become a little bit too action-like. Doesn't really feel like Resident Evil. But they loved how it played so much. They're like, well, screw it. We'll do some adjustments and we'll just make this a title of its own.
Yep.
And yeah, you're right. And that's how that's how Devil May Cry was born. Personally, to answer my own question, which I gave to you, I also don't mind that fact that you may not play as Dante. Like, I, of course, would prefer you play as Dante, just because when I think of Devil May Cry, I think of him. That being said, though, whoever you play as, you know is going to be a badass, you know is going to be powerful, and as long as the game feels like what Devil May Cry has established, then I'm all for it. And the reason why I'm extra pumped for this game is actually because of the previous Devil May Cry, which came by, which was developed by Ninja Theory. And the reason why I like that game so much is because I hated it to begin with. Like, okay, there's a reason to it. So anyone who is a Devil May Cry fan knows that when Ninja Theory first showed off their take of Devil May Cry, Dante looked completely different. It wasn't a different character. It was a younger Dante, and he didn't look like his old self. And a lot of people, and as much as I hate to admit this, even myself, was like, yeah, I think I might give this a skip. What have they done to Dante? Like, they don't understand Devil May Cry. So you're like, ah, forget it. I wouldn't have it. I hated how he looked. And many years later, the game came out on, there was a sale on Steam or something. I'm like, ah, it's cheap. Like, I'll give it a shot. And then I got it and I loved it. And then I just judged myself instead of the game, thinking, damn it, I missed out on this game all this time because I wouldn't give it a chance just because it looked different, you know? And it reinvigorated my love with the series. And I promised myself that if another Devil May Cry game comes out, regardless of how it looks, whether it's a Dante, whether it's someone else, I would give it a chance. So that's why, yeah, as soon as I saw that it's not Dante, and I'm like, all right, I'm still down for this. Like, last time I didn't, I regretted it. I'm more hands on deck here. Yeah. And that actually leads, we'll stay with the topic of Capcom. Jamel, you made an interesting point before the podcast when we're talking just the three of us. Okay, it's still the three of us, but now we're recording. you made the great point of saying, in your opinion, you feel Capcom is actually doing pretty well these days, because what we'll discuss shortly was the announcement of Resident Evil 2. Did you want to elaborate for our listeners what you meant by those comments you were saying before? Like, what do you see in Capcom's future here? Like, what pattern are you seeing?
Okay, well, not so long ago, we were discussing after the you know, the failures that were, unfortunately, with Street Fighter V, even though they're correcting those with Arcade Edition, and just the collapse of Marvel's Capcom Infinite after, I think it was EVO didn't take on NBCI, which is the first time ever a Capcom fighter has never been in an EVO. You know, the president of Capcom had to put out a public statement, like an apology, going, hey, we screwed up, you know, we didn't do this right. And, you know...
And for listeners listening in, I'll just quickly jump in. EVO is that massive professional online tournament. I'm not sure if it's online, but that's the professional fighting stage,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah.
Like, all serious fighters, fighting games, go to EVO. That's where you find the world's best. And Capcom's Street Fighter V game wasn't good enough to get in that.
Yeah.
So
neither was Marvel's Capcom Infinite,
ouch.
You know, so... Like, the idea of a fighting game tournament like EVO with no Marvel vs. Capcom games or any kind of versus game is insane, you know, or no Street Fighter at an EVO, that is insane. So, yeah, you know, and we were discussing on this podcast not so long ago about this, how we were worried about Capcom, you know, and...
We've mentioned them a couple times, and in episode one, we gave our listeners a horrible perception of us, and that we hate Capcom, and that may have been because, you know, we compared the company as a how did you do it, as a hippie friend who had just come back, and there we are. Capcom was a hipster, and we had great memories, but they just weren't their old self anymore. So we really laid into
them. Yes.
And since then, 22 episodes later, with the podcast, so 20 weeks, we're seeing them in a different light. How do you feel about, let's get into Resident Evil 2, how do you feel about that trailer? I know you've seen it. Geek out with me. What's going on in your head?
Holy shit. That looks amazing.
I was hoping for some sort of reaction like that. I'm like, don't be calm. Now's not the time to do it.
No, now is not the time to be calm. Like, here's how amazing the trailers, because there's been multiple now for Resident Evil 2 Remake. There's been like two or three, and here's how good the game looks. The gameplay trailer for Resident Evil 2 Remake looks better than the pre-rendered CG stuff we saw of it. That's how good this game looks. You know, when...
That's a good way to put it.
When the pre-render fails in comparison to the actual in-game engine, you know they've done something right. Because, holy shit, that over-the-shoulder, that tight over-the-shoulder thing they have going, where, and, you know, where you see Leon and he looks so young, like he looks like he just crawled out of his mother's womb, and he's already shooting a zombie, you know, like, it's like... You know, you're pretty sure, like, the second before he shot that zombie in the face, his mum sent him a text going, "You need to stop buying avocados." You know, and the really great thing about Leon looking so young, in particular, Leon, is that he's not action Leon who's going to, like, roundhouse kick a zombie. He is scared shitless, and that is the ideal place for a horror game to be, because you need the main character to have an element of innocence, naivety, and I have no idea what I'm doing.
Exactly. That's what the survival honra... Sorry.
Honra? Honra.
George is so scared he can't even talk properly.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why the survival genre is... It relies on that. Like, normally the player discovers the storyline as they progress. So you start, you have no idea what's going on, you slowly put the pieces together, and ideally whichever character you're controlling should be experiencing that with you. You don't want the character to be confident. You don't want them to look like they can just put the zombie in a headlock and, like, you know, throw it about. You want them to look scared, and yeah, you're right. The visuals, the quality, the graphics of this game look absolute top-notch. Like, I thought they might hold back a little bit. Who's like, all right, we're doing a remake of a game that came out on the PS1 era. You know, we're up to the PS4. There's been four consoles since then. three additional PlayStation since then. So, you know, they could have gone the lazy route and had it not look so good and be like, hey, this doesn't look amazing, but you know what? It still looks 50 times better than the original. And you wouldn't be able to argue with that. You're like, well, yeah. Like, that bar wasn't set too high. Jay, you've seen the trailer. You are just as much of a Resident Evil fan as I am. What are your thoughts, buddy? Like, talk to me. Talk to us, my friend.
Tell us, Jay.
Oh, look, I mean, just a fantastic franchise from day one, but I mean, the popularity of, you know, the zombie apocalypse or whatnot has probably never been more popular in people's eyes with shows like The Walking Dead exploding and stuff like that. But just to start it off through the eyes of a mouse trying to get through that mad world was just crazy. Fell in love with that right from the start, that trailer, and just cannot wait. Absolutely cannot wait.
It was very clever how they did that. It actually made me nervous, because when they were showing the perspective of the mouse, I thought, oh shit, they've made it first person. That was the first thing that came in my head. I'm like, Resident Evil 7 did too well. Now they've crammed it into the Resident Evil 2 remake, and it's like, no, don't do this. So I may have been that sicko who was like, yes, die, you stupid rat. That means the first person dies with you.
Get pest control in here.
Oh, God. And that little bit, like, you know, where... Do you know what's great about that first-person perspective when you're in the cupboard, though? Well, I'm guessing it's a cupboard. Is that because you can only hear what's going on outside of the cupboard, you know, you can sort of hear and sort of, like, barely see the struggle, your imagination starts running wild about what's happening, and then when you finally see the zombie, you like chomp that dude in the neck. Oh god! And the screams, and like the when you like he lifts his mouth and there's that bit of flesh and it's so gross.
Yeah, he rips it.
It was.
Yeah,
seeing that chunk of flesh come out, I was like, oh, I was like, that's even a little bit disgusting for me. One thing you mentioned though, Jamel, was the over-the-shoulder camera. So for the first time, apart from the game actually existing being confirmed, beyond the original announcement, we now know that they're no longer doing the static camera angles or the cinematic camera angles from the old ones. Now, I want to know how you both actually feel about this, because me personally, I am in a little bit of a mixed area. I'm going to enjoy the game no matter what, just because it's Resident Evil and it does look gorgeous and over-the-shoulder works. But that being said, though, deep down, I actually want the cinematic cameras to return, just because when you place them in, you know, certain places, it just made everything feel so cinematic, so much closer. It obscured your view and it forced you to play a certain playstyle. Like in the original Resident Evil, you could shoot the zombie, but that was it. You couldn't choose where you shoot it. But knowing in advance that it's over the shoulder means that we'll be able to aim for their head, aim for their legs. And you have that worry of, will this make the game too action focused? Will it make it easier? You know, like you would just do headshots and that's it. Whereas in Resident Evil 2, you knew if you saw a zombie, you're like, ah, shit, I need to waste like 5 or 7 bullets, or 5 bullets and an awful lot of knife attacks to bring it down, you know? Jay, how do you feel about that going into this Resident Evil 2 remake? What's your thoughts? Do you have a preference, and do you even care how the game plays?
Oh, look, I guess for me, I'm a sucker for the original way. Like, I don't know, I still love it. But I understand remaking it with new graphics isn't the way people like to do it. I mean, we saw it with Square and Final Fantasy VII Remake. So, I know, just either way, I'm going to get it and I'm going to love it. But I probably would prefer it to be more like the original. I think it just, yeah, created a different atmosphere. But I'm more than happy to be proved wrong when this comes out.
Okay, optimistic.
Yeah.
Nice, nice.
Always.
Yeah, like you, the glass is half full, not half empty. Jamil, how do you feel about this?
I love the originals. I love the original cinematic camera angles and all of that kind of thing. But we need an honesty moment here. The old control scheme and the fixed camera angles was busted as hell. Okay. It was busted.
Never.
because you know, the camera, like the controls were sometimes so unresponsive, and you know, you're trying to run away from a zombie, but you end up running into its face because the camera angle completely just switches on you instantly. You're like, ah, God! You know, it's just, this is better. It's...
That was a genuine problem, actually. So, for those listening that aren't actually old enough to know how this worked, is you may know about the cinematic camera angle. So, you walk into a room and maybe there's a camera above your head. And then as you move forward towards the room, then all of a sudden another camera from a completely different angle will start recording you. And, you know, it created that cinematic experience like a movie. Mm. The downside to this, though, is say you were on the top of the screen and you were coming down. So you were pressing the down button. So then you can go. But halfway running down that corridor, you switch to a camera behind you. And you have to change the button you're pressing.
Yes.
To make sense of the viewport. So then all of a sudden, a zombie appears and you press the button, which originally would have made you run away. But instead, because the camera's changed, you run forward instead. So that is that's definitely a frustration, which we all experienced. My thing is, I wish they gave the option. They did a Resident Evil remake on PC. There was some sort of special edition, and you could play it with the old camera angles, you know, the cinematic and so forth, but they changed the control scheme. So then regardless of which camera is showing, you still move forward the same way. But yeah, no, like Jay, whatever form it comes, I'm willing to wear it. And Jamel, you sound super keen to bury it and forget it.
Well, not...
You obviously loved the game but hated the blocky controls, which it was blocky. Well, I would say it was.
I mean, saying I hate it, it's a bit strong. I mean, I still love it, but it's just the thing of, I just recognize that the old way wasn't necessarily the best way. But I have two interesting things to point out about Resident Evil, the first of which is very relevant to what you were saying and your question. In the gameplay trailer, where you see Leon being approached by two zombies who eventually sort of topple on top of him and, you know, presumably start chewing him, he actually is moving side to side, but the gun angle isn't actually changing. You know what I mean? They didn't... If you look at that trailer, at that bit I'm talking about, Leon's, you know, his gun doesn't point up or down. It's facing forward like the way it would in the classic Resident Evil sense. So I'm wondering if we're going to have like a limited ability to move the gun in the classic sense, so you aren't just doing headshots like you were saying, George.
Oh, yeah. that's some good observation. I actually didn't notice that, and I wouldn't be opposed to it either. Like, you wouldn't want too much of a limitation, though, because if you have that camera angle and you can't even aim where you want, it would throw you off. But if they can do something to control how powerful the character is, I think that's important, because, you know, zombies need to be a force to reckon with. You should never at any stage play Resident Evil 2 and think, I got this.
Yeah.
You ain't got shit.
Yeah.
That's how it's meant to be.
The game's got you. Yeah.
Now,
exactly,
the,
Joe.
The other thing I heard was it has to do with the scenario A and B that we're used to in Resident Evil 2. What I've...
That's right, you played as multiple characters. You could play as Leon or Claire.
And there are two routes in the game. You know, you had the A route where you essentially turn... Because at the start of Resident Evil, the two title characters start together. There's a car crash and they get separated because they run out of the car in separate directions and a truck hits their car and explodes because it's a fuel tanker. And then the characters get separated and they meet at the police station. But basically, one goes through the front gate, the other one goes through the back gate, and that leads to them playing out very different scenarios. What I've heard is that, because in the original, you could pick whether you went through the A scenario, which other character. So you could, if you wanted, have Leon go through the front door or Claire go through the front door. It was, you know, Claire A or Leon A. Or, you know, and conversely, Leon B or Claire B. And
I remember it came on two discs. Each disc was for each character. Yeah.
And what they're apparently doing is they're going to canonize who goes through the front door and the back door, and that leads to them fighting different enemies, so that you don't get to choose who goes through the front or the back kind of thing. So it's going to be interesting to see which character that they decide is going to go through which scenario, because me personally, and I'm probably the unpopular person here, I like to have it be Claire A, where she goes through the front door and fights the big claw monster, and have Leon go through the B scenario where he's chased by the mysterious Mr. X, who's a very tall grey man in a coat and hat. So that is going to be interesting to see how they fiddle with the scenarios, because apparently the scenarios themselves are going to diverge even further than they did in the original. Because in the original, they diverge, but it's not like extreme, but there's still a point of difference to them. But apparently it's going to be even further diverged than we're used to.
That makes sense, because although it's not really spoken about much, realistically, Resident Evil 2 wasn't the largest game. It's just it had very good, it had high difficulty. Mm. So, you know, you were nervous and terrified and dying half the time. But, you know, speedrunners, for example, would attest they can fly through this ridiculously quick. And I think in today's modern age, if you're doing a remake of a game, as Capcom is doing, and they're not following it, you know, down the line perfectly, they're doing their own little changes here and there, as seen with the camera angles, I think they would definitely add more story elements to it, because I don't think anyone wants to be reminded of how short the actual game was. Like, I would personally be fine with it, but, you know, new age audiences, you have a certain expectation of how long a game should be. And yeah, the multiple branching story paths obviously add replayability. Like, that's the first thing that comes to my head when I realized that they would have the two characters, as I was expecting. It's like, good, if this is a 10-hour game, it's 20. You know, because if it takes 10 hours with one, it will hopefully take 10 hours with the other. One thing which I'm hoping doesn't impact them too much is the first four Resident Evil games were made by the famous game designer Shinji Mikami. Now, he famously left Capcom and has done his own gaming studio, Tango Gameworks. So they have done the Evil Within games and Evil Within 2. Now, from my knowledge, he isn't involved at all in this Resident Evil 2 remake, regardless of the fact that, you know, he was the one that originally did it. He's not with Capcom anymore. So the question is, can Capcom still make good? Because, yes, they have the image of Resident Evil 2 to work with, and they know what's expected. But realistically, they're doing it from the ground up, and I hope whoever is in charge of this remake can step up and not disappoint. One thing I do know about the head designer for this is he actually worked with Shinji Mikami on Resident Evil 2 all those years ago. So that gives me some confidence that he hopefully knows what he's doing. Obviously, we won't know until it does come out, but yeah, two great games from Capcom. I think, Jamil, as you pointed out, they are doing that turnaround. We're getting Devil May Cry 5. We're getting this Resident Evil 2 remake. Soon we will have Mega Man 11. Like, it feels like, you know, Capcom was drunk for a very long time and they're starting to sober up. You know, they've lost the sea legs. It's not shaking as much anymore. They've had some water. The body appreciates it. And I think they're on their way to great things.
We need a Mega Man X remake. Just saying.
Oh, I would. I would already pre-order it. Like, they don't even need to give me details. They're like, you know the Mega Man X games? What if they all came out on one disc?
No.
And they were all pretty.
Not even that. As in, take the Mega Man X idea and just make a brand new game the same way that, you know, the bigger difference between Resident Evil 2 and Resident Evil 2 Remake and Mega Man X Remake, and completely just go super outside of the formula and the box, because if you're going to make platformers, they can just make Mega Man 12, that's fine. I would be so hyped for something like that, something completely different than we've ever played before in Mega Man terms. That would make me so happy.
I have a feeling in the future we will be talking more Mega Man. I see Mega Man 11 being a success. Capcom is releasing literally all of the previous Mega Mans. So there's already bundles available for all the Mega Mans on the original Nintendo, the X series, that's all coming out. The only thing which annoys me with that is, even though they're old games and obviously take up little to no storage space, especially to today's standards, they still sell them as separate packs, which annoys me. So, like, I wanted all the Mega Man X games, and that's coming to Switch, and I like the portable nature. And obviously the Switch, hardware-wise, isn't going to struggle with such old, ancient games. What I wasn't expecting is that there would be two packs. Pack 1 will have Mega Man 1, 2, 4, or 5 or something, and then the other half in the other pack. And that, to me, feels like a little bit of a money grab. Well, it doesn't feel like it. It is. Like, there's no reason they can't just all be in the one bundle, and I would go out and buy that, no hesitation. But the fact that they have it separately means I might go for the first pack and enjoy those ones and maybe get the second. Like, we'll see. It's all about value for money. You boys know how I am. You want to feel that value, and you feel the same way. Like, you're gamers, but you don't just chuck out the money without any thought. You're happy to do it, but only if you feel your game bang for your buck, as they say.
Yeah, I mean, I mostly agree.
Mostly. Okay, look, I'm going to wrap things up here. There's like a lot more to say, but otherwise this episode will go on for too long. Jay, thank you so much for coming back to us and joining us on the show. It's always a pleasure to have you.
Thank you as always, boys, and two games close to my heart, so very honoured to be a part of this one. Thank you.
Well, absolutely had to have you. And Jamil, as usual, thanks for joining me and being all humble.
Yes, thank you very much. It is always a pleasure to speak with you and Jay as well. I always appreciate these opportunities, so Thank you very much, Jay, for joining us, and for George for organizing everything. And by the way, special shout out to our group, Positive Gaming Space. There's a lot of activity going on right now, and it's great to see.
Yeah. Thanks for pointing that out. That's our gaming family right there. Throughout all of E3, been posting, you know, games and exciting bits of information, and they're always on board, always supporting us, and many of our topics come directly from their Facebook group. So definitely a big shout out to them. And next time we do come back, okay, I said I wouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it just very quickly. Nintendo at E3. I can't take it. I told myself I wouldn't do this. I'm doing it. I promise I'll keep it short, but all right. So either this is the very first episode you have ever heard and you have no idea how much of a Nintendo fanboy I am, or you've listened to more than one and you know I will never say anything against them. Until now. Okay, so I've seen all of the E3s. I saw Microsoft's, I saw Ubisoft's, I saw Sony's. I sat there and spent God knows how many hours going through all the videos of everything that has come out, even games I'm not interested in. That's how dedicated I am. Now, Nintendo, they were the last ones. And in my head, it was save the best till last. That's how I feel. It's Nintendo. And they gave the worst E3 presentation I have seen. It was horrible. It kills me because... All right, I'm going to calm my farm here. I am going to explain why Nintendo has annoyed me. It wasn't what games they showed. It wasn't they didn't have any exciting games to show. It wasn't they came with nothing. It was just so obvious that they do not care about E3 in the slightest, because they have their Nintendo Directs. And I say this because everyone else throughout this whole week who has come up to the stage, they've been at E3 live and in person and so forth. And, you know, they've given their speeches, they've done their funny liners, they've shown the epic games and trailers and given everything the time it needs. You know, they've been up there for 1.5 hours. They've given it the all. At the end of seeing an exciting trailer, you hear fans losing it and clapping and whistling, like, you know, feeling the vibe of E3. And Nintendo just had a pre-done video which pretty much focused on Smash Brothers for Switch, which the game looks fantastic. We'll speak about that another time. It looks great and Nintendo gave it a lot of time. But every game which wasn't Smash Brothers got little to no attention. Like all the previous Nintendo Directs, Nintendo anything, all developers have gotten their games have been in the spotlight. You know, they'll be like, hey, check out this game. It looks amazing. Here are the features. You have some time to appreciate it. Then I'll move on to the next exciting game. Nintendo, in a compilation of like 2-3 minutes, 5 at most, just rushed through all of the Nintendo upcoming Switch games and gave it no attention. And they dropped some bombs which they gave no attention to. Like, they're releasing Fortnite for the Switch. Everyone knows what Fortnite is. Everyone knows how big that is. And the fact that you'll be able to play what is, you know, the world's most popular game at the moment on the go is a massive achievement. And just really nice, frankly, that, you know, the Nintendo Switch hardware can run it. And they did a number of other games, but I'll give you an example of how quick they went about it. So they will show gameplay footage for about 5-6 seconds, and they'll have the title briefly flash the screen. And within that 5-6 seconds, you're like, oh, that doesn't look bad. I wonder what, oh wait, they've moved on to the next game. They've moved past it already. Like, it was literally going that fast. And throughout the whole thing, you're like, why are they not stopping? Why are they just smashing through these? It was as if they were handed in a book report and they were really late and they didn't want to stay behind class and they still wanted to make it by the bell. That's what Nintendo's E3 conference felt like. And it just wasn't cool. They crammed it. They were lazy. And I know that, yes, they have the Nintendo Directs, so they will make it up. They will release games as they see fit. But the problem is not everyone else sees it that way. E3, for the rest of the world and other developers, is about the future, is about getting excited. And this was meant to be Nintendo's opportunity to say, hey, the Switch has done really well. We've had a lot of games coming, heaps more are coming. Keep that momentum going. And Nintendo has slacked off so much that, I kid you not, the Nintendo shares themselves have dropped. That's how laid back they took this. And yeah, even when they showed a good game, they just moved past it so quickly so then they can talk about Smash Brothers. And you know how before I mentioned everyone else's conferences went for an hour or an hour and a half? Nintendo was done in about 47 minutes. Like, that was it. It was just down to business. Here's some games. And it was horrible. It was horrible. I just had to get that off my chest because I always give credit where due and I always tear people when they deserve it. And trust me, if you're EA, you probably hate me because I will bag you on the podcast. I will bag you in the Facebook group because you keep stuffing up. And I keep praising Nintendo because, you know, for the most part, ever since the Switch has been announced, they've been on fire. They haven't done anything wrong until now.
Yeah. Look, it's the evil empire, George. It's just how it is. You know, it's like, you know, a company that cares about you doesn't stuff around playing videos. You know, they look after their people, their fans. They let them monetize videos on YouTube. You know, it's just, you're coming around to my way of thinking, George. And just, you know, as you go, you're just going to get, you know, better opinions and be smarter. It's just one of those things.
You are enjoying the single moment I've given you way too much.
Yep.
I should have kept it to myself and bit my tongue.
This is fun.
Honestly, everyone did such a fantastic job, though. This year's E3, actually, I think next time we do a recording, we just need to credit the other companies. So today we discussed Devil May Cry 5, we discussed Resident Evil 2. There's been an abundance of amazing announcements. So next time we're doing a recording, we will discuss them, we will praise them. And just everyone, I'm pushing Nintendo aside for this, everyone at E3 did fantastic. Like, there was so much energy. It was generally exciting. Like, you sat down and watched a conference. I mean, even Microsoft did a good job this year. I'm not sure I've ever said that about the company. Like, and I've said it on this podcast that I just want them to lift their game a bit. I'm not saying they blew it out the water, but you know what? They did better than Nintendo, and they did a lot better than they have previously. They made some announcements which I actually care about, and their games. So, everybody, thank you for listening to Game in My Whole Life. I am going to stop this recording unless you boys want to add anything else.
we'll log on to Positive Gaming Space and say hello. Tell us what you thought of this episode. And, yeah, keep playing games. Don't run out of lives.
Thank you. Jabbo, anything? Awesome. And just let us know if you agree with what we've said. If you're a Resident Evil 2 fan or Devil May Cry fan, and you feel there's an exciting point that we failed to address today, by all means, comment, let us know, and maybe we'll bring it up next time. Until then, keep gaming, and thanks for your time.
Bye. All right,
bye.